Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Giants Goal Line, and what a perfect week you've picked to tune in because it's Giants Cowboys week, and it is the biggest game for the Giants, well, maybe since Super Bowl 46 back in early 2012. It's certainly their biggest regular season game in years. They haven't even been in a playoff race in ages, and now here they are in one. This game won't be for the NFC's title or lead as the Giants had hoped, because they're three games behind the Cowboys with four games to play. And they, yes, they do have the tiebreaker, especially if they win. But realistically, the division is out of reach. But the Giants are still locked into quite a wild card race. They currently lead it. But they have the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Washington Redskins nipping right at their heels, and lurking not too far behind the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers as well. So every win matters. It's basically a race to 10 wins for the Giants. They've got a tough December schedule. They're already coming off, obviously, a loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 24-14 last Sunday. They can't really afford another one. Otherwise, this wild card race will get really, really tight. Either way, Giants-Cowboys is a huge game, and later on in the show, we will definitely go in-depth on that matchup, take a look at both teams, what they're playing for, and what the Giants' likelihood is of pulling off the upset and doing what they did back in week one when they were able to be the only team so far that's beaten those Dallas Cowboys. So we will definitely take a look at that game. Mostly, though, at least at the beginning here, we're going to delve into the big news of the week, and that is the loss of Jason Pierre-Paul for the Giants. Huge news this week when the groin injury that he suffered in the Steelers game turned into surgery earlier in the week. He needed it to repair a sports hernia as well as a groin injury. He's going to be sidelined 6 to 8 weeks, probably not going on injured reserve, which means the Giants are going to hold out hope that he returns for the NFC Championship game if they can get there, or maybe the Super Bowl if they can get there. We will take a look at the short-term implications of that as well as the long-term implications on Jason Pierre-Paul's future with the Giants. He becomes a free agent in March. But let's start with the short term, because Jason Pierre-Paul has been on an absolute tear. He's got 7 sacks on the season, but 5.5 of them have come in the last 3 weeks. Obviously, that was against the Bears and the Browns. Neither one of them have good offensive lines. Neither one of them are particularly good teams. But JPP's play had gone beyond that, really, because he was giving a lot of consistent pressure on the quarterback. He'd really been playing like a man possessed. I mean, he was stopping the run well. He is extremely active on defense, and the attention he was drawing because all of that really freed up Olivier Vernon, too. And Olivier Vernon's on quite a sack streak himself. He had 4 in the last 2 games, and a lot of that had to do with the presence of Jason Pierre-Paul. They had become a very dangerous 1-2 punch, and they were a big reason, considering they both play basically every defensive snap, as to why the Giants' defense had been so good this year and why in the fourth quarters of games, when last year the defense was wearing down and letting quarterbacks just pick the defense apart, that wasn't happening this year. They were winning games in the fourth quarter, and a lot of it had to do with JPP and Olivier Vernon. Now, Vernon is essentially by himself, because replacing JPP will be some kind of combination of, it's, as Ben McAdoo put it, the all-hands-on-deck approach, a combination of Kerry Wynn, Romeo Okwara, a rookie who is, extremely green right now. Those two will have their chance, as well as, oh, wow, Diggy Zua, who in his second season has been kind of a disappointment. The Giants had big, big plans for him as a pass rush specialist. The three of them have combined for 2 career sacks, so they are not anywhere near JPP territory. And while they can say all the right things about next man up, it's an opportunity for someone else, they just have to fill JPP's shoes, the odds of them doing it are not good, which means the rest of the defensive line is going to have to pick up the slack. And really, from the pass rushing perspective, it's going to be up to Vernon, who is going to see double and triple teams now with JPP gone. It remains to be seen if he's up to the task. This is a guy who has been a good pass rusher, but not a great pass rusher, despite the $85 million contract he got from the Giants that had a lot to do with opportunity and the fact that he was the best available guy on the market. Don't confuse him with a guy like J.J. Watt. This isn't a guy who's going to get 20 sacks in a season. This isn't a guy who's going to be basically superhuman on defense. He was a good pass rusher, and with JPP on the other side, had the potential to be a great pass rusher, and he was starting to become that. Again, now he's got to do it all by himself, and this is a huge, huge blow to the Giants' defense. This Cowboy offensive line, we've talked about this before, it's the best offensive line in football, and there's no doubt about it, and both in their run game and in the way they protect their rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott. He does not get forced into bad throws. He does not make a lot of mistakes. He only has two interceptions on the season. A lot of that is because the offensive line, they were going to have a hard time penetrating that even with JPP. Without it, well, it sure looks like Dak Prescott's going to have a lot of time to sit back there and throw the ball. It's really up to Olivier Vernon. This whole thing now falls on him. We'll find out for sure if he's worth the $85 million that he received. He definitely has earned it so far, but now is when the time he's really got to step up. The long-term implications of this injury are unknown and kind of interesting because Jason Pierre-Paul came back to the Giants. It was a remarkable story. He blows off his hand, essentially, in a fireworks accident, shows back up, renegotiates a deal for the rest of the year, plays reasonably well. He still, despite all that, didn't have a great season, obviously was still affected by the hand. Despite all that, he got a pretty lucrative offer from the Arizona Cardinals, and he took less to come back to the Giants. He took a one-year, $10 million deal that would allow him to become a free agent this March, and he wanted to prove his value. He knew, had he not blown off his hand, he would have been getting Olivier Vernon money. He would have been getting a five-year, $85 million deal. But instead, he took less. That at age 27, he'll be 28 when he's a free agent, he has a chance to earn more. The question now is, where is his value going to be when you put his whole package together? He's a guy now who basically lost his hand, and now he's coming off groin and sports hernia surgery, and the odds are pretty good unless the Giants make a really deep playoff run. He's played his last game this season, so the last image we'll have of him will be of him getting hurt. On his resume now, 7 sacks. Yep, that's good. 5.5 come against the Bears and Browns, which makes you wonder what happened against the better teams and the better offensive lines. When you factor all that in, how much do you value Jason Pierre-Paul? The Giants, I think, valued him a lot, and they think that having him next to Olivier Vernon, it was terrific for them. And all things being equal, they might have gone out in the offseason and give him a Vernon-like deal, even though they have the $85 million tied up in Vernon and another $46.5 million tied up in their defensive tackle, Damon Harrison, and they still have to re-sign Jonathan Hankins, who's probably going to be looking for $40 million of his own. I think they might have gone out and signed JPP for $85 million. But now, I don't know if you can, because he's got the injury issues on top of everything else. And he is getting older, and as they've seen with guys like Victor Cruz, once your body starts to wear down a little bit, Jason Pierre-Paul, who, before blowing off his hand, had back issues, if you remember, had back surgery, now groin surgery. When he comes back, is he going to be an $85 million player? Now, I actually do think on the open market, he might find that money, because when you go out there you're going to see that there are not many defensive ends, if any, who are better than him. And on top of that, you'll find teams that are desperate for pass rushing help. And they'll see a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul, they'll see his youth, they'll see his freakish athleticism, and they'll say, you know what, we'll take a chance on him. Maybe there'll be some outs in the contract or some things that help them against the salary cap, but he could probably almost guarantee himself that he'll be up in the $70, $80 million range, because that's what guys get as the salary cap continues to rise. That's just what pass rushing defensive ends are worth. But I don't know how the Giants could possibly do that next season, knowing what they're paying Harrison, knowing what they're paying Vernon, knowing what they'll have to either pay Hankins or pay his replacement, because his replacement certainly isn't on the roster. I think we're pretty clear of that beyond the front four, there is no depth on this defensive line, nobody else who can be that type of player. So if they re-sign Hankins as well, boy, you're talking about, and JPP, you're talking about $240 million in contracts just along the defensive line. I don't think they can do that, knowing Jason Pierre-Paul will now have been operated on twice, had back, had shoulder, had groin, had sports hernia injuries, is missing part of his hand. It's too much to commit that much of your salary cap to that. It might be too much to commit that much of your salary cap to one position as it is, especially when the Giants have needs in other places, along the offensive line, maybe at receiver, a second safety, depending on the health of some of their guys there, maybe another cornerback, depending on the status of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie next season. But it just might be too much of a cost for JPP, especially now that he's even more damaged goods than he was before. Obviously, the Giants aren't thinking about that just yet. They're thinking about what he means to the short term, because they were starting to get high hopes for this season. And a lot of the players were really blown away by the news when they heard about Jason Pierre-Paul. That brings us to our next segment of Giants Goal Line. Normally, right around now, I bring in a guest and we talk for 10 or 12 minutes or so about the upcoming game or reviewing the game before. But what we're going to do this week is let you hear from some of the players themselves. I talked to a bunch of them this week. You'll hear from Damon Harrison. You'll hear from Kerry Wynn, who's going to replace Jason Pierre-Paul in the lineup. You'll hear from Jonathan Casillas and Landon Collins, who, you know, with Jason Pierre-Paul's help up front, Landon Collins was having such a great season. He may still be in consideration for the Defensive Player of the Year award. But I talked to all of them about Jason Pierre-Paul, the loss, what he meant to the locker room, as well as the enormity of this Giants-Cowboys game, which is, even if it's not for the NFC East, it is huge for their psyche. They know they want to, if they can beat this team a second time, this team that might be the best team in the NFL, it can be an absolute springboard for the rest of their season and their playoff hopes and their hopes for a playoff run. And, of course, they need to keep pace in that wild card chase. They have a lead right now. They need to keep it. They can't afford to lose, especially if Tampa and Washington are able to win this week. Things could get really tight. So I asked the players about that, and let's take a listen to what some of them said now. We'll start with Damon Harrison, who was one of the players you see most affected in the locker room. And I asked him how he felt when he first heard the news that Jason Pierre-Paul would be lost for the season.
Oh, well, it was tough because, again, you don't know how much of an impact a guy has, you know, on the team on and off the field until they're not there anymore. And, you know, I know how bad he want to play. I know how much being out there this year meant to him. And, you know, I was a little heartbroken for him.
How much of an impact did he have on this team beyond the obvious, the seven sacks and things like that?
Well, he was a great locker room guy. And he was the one that pretty much brought everybody together. And, you know, now somebody got to step up and fill that role. But, you know, that's one of my good friends on the team. I still talk to him. I was just texting him a while ago. He's in good spirits. So I think as soon as he can get back out there, he will.
Do you worry that that you could have played your last snap as his teammate?
I don't want to get too much into that, man. I let that take care of itself. But he's done a good job to put himself in position to, you know, be somewhere, you know, and being productive and, you know, getting the contract he deserves.
How much faith do you have in the guys that now have to step up and fill his shoes?
Well, I have no choice but to have faith. But now, man, we got a good group of guys. We got Kerry Wynn, who has a lot of experience, and we also have Romeo and Owa. All of those guys have experience, and Romeo being a rookie, he made the team for a reason. The guy's a pretty good player. And no matter who gets the start out there, you know, opposite OV, we'll have faith in him.
It's interesting to hear Damon Harrison say that he has no choice but to have faith in his fellow defensive ends who are going to have to step in and replace Jason Pierre-Paul, because really that's kind of where the Giants are. There's nothing in their body of work to make you believe in Kerry Wynn or Owa Digizua or Romeo Okwara, because they just haven't done it in the NFL. And Kerry Wynn's probably the most accomplished of the three, and he's got two sacks. So it's a big leap of faith for the Giants that somebody can do what JPP did and be as disruptive and help out Olivier Vernon that much. And I spoke with Kerry Wynn about that. You heard Snacks mention him as one of the guys who's got to step up and replace JPP. Kerry Wynn's a three-year vet. And I asked him about his feelings about stepping in to replace Jason Pierre-Paul and the loss of a guy who has been one of the stars of the Giants defense for years.
It hurts, you know. It hurts to not have him in the locker room, and no, he's not with us. But yeah, we just got to, you know, rally around and keep going.
I know this is obviously not the way you'd want the opportunity, but do you also look at it as an opportunity now? You, Romeo, other guys can step up and show what you can do.
I mean, yeah, it's just like I said, next man up mentality, and just gotta, you know, do what we're supposed to do.
How confident are you in the overall defense without JPP?
Still very confident. I mean, he's an outstanding player, as we all know. But I feel very confident in myself and Owe and Romeo.
Well, there certainly are other players other than Wynn and Romeo and Owe who are going to have to step up their game to fill in. Look, the Giants have had some terrific defensive performances this year and some terrific defensive players. None better, I think, than Landon Collins. We talked about it a few minutes ago about him being a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. He's really been a difference maker for the Giants defense. And, you know, he certainly knows how big of a blow it will be to him and the defense to lose JPP off that defensive line, lose the pressure that he brings, lose everything that he brings. But as Landon Collins said to me, he is certainly confident that number 90 can be replaced.
Do you have guys here that you believe can make up for the loss of JPP?
Yes, I mean, we got Kerwin, we got a couple more guys that could do that. Romeo, a rookie that could do the same things that he does. I mean, JPP just bring experience and knowledge to the game, but and that he got a motor like no other that I know about. But other than that, those guys that's behind him know what they're doing, they know what they're capable of, and they're going to get the job done.
He didn't always have the sack numbers this year. Most of his sacks came in a couple of games, but does his impact on this defense go beyond that?
Yes, of course, because you know he's going to do his job. He's accountable, and we looked up to him as a leader, and he's a brother of ours, and I'm always going to be a brother.
Is it up to you and other guys to sort of lift everybody up once you get that kind of deflating news that he is out at least for the regular season?
Definitely, because, I mean, it's something that that hurts the team and it sets back. But, I mean, we look at it as an opportunity for guys to get their name known.
I guess if there's one good thing, this would have been really devastating for the defense a year ago, but you guys are playing much better and have more talent around here. Maybe you're in a better position to make up for his loss?
Definitely. I mean, we were in a better position than last year. But, like I said, I mean, we got guys that's capable of doing the same thing he does. They got the opportunity, and now it's time to just go with it. It's a blessing for him now.
All right, whether JPP is part of the picture or not, one really interesting storyline for this Giants game against the Cowboys is, as good as the Giants have been all season long, and 8-4, no matter how you shake it, is a good record, and they've proven themselves to be a good team, they know they've still got a lot to prove, because I don't think there's a lot of people around the country, and certainly maybe not even some in New York, who really believe in them. Their six-game winning streak, which really has set the tone of their season and built up their record, was against a string of awful to mediocre at best teams. And maybe I would now take the Ravens out of that category. They turned out to be a pretty good team, but the rest of them, not very good at all. The Giants' defense came of age during that win streak, but again, against lesser opponents and lesser offenses. And as they showed when they took their first step up in class against the Pittsburgh Steelers, they weren't quite up to the task. So I talked to linebacker Jonathan Casillas about this, and I asked him if the Giants and the Giants defense in particular knows that it really has something to prove. And he agrees that they do have that as they head into the final 4 weeks of the season.
We need to show ourselves that we are a complete football team, you know, that we can't play complimentary ball for four quarters. I don't think we've actually done that yet this year, you know, and that presents a challenge to us, and I think we're ready for it.
Landon's talked a little bit about the goal now is to get deep enough that JPP can come back. Talked about that?
Yeah, that was definitely said today, and, you know, I think his injury is 4 to 6 weeks, you know, what have you, and JPP is an X-Men, you know, he's a mutant, you know, I mean, dude came back from blowing his hand off in 4 months. Mm-hmm. He blew his hand off and was playing in the football game 4 months later. I mean, that's a mutant to me, you know. So I think the guy's going to be back, and the better we are, the deeper we get in January. And, you know, February is the ultimate goal, of course. You know, hopefully we can get him back.
All right, I got to tell you, that quote about JPP being a mutant and an X-Man is one of the best quotes that I've heard out of that locker room all year long. It was literally a drop-the-mic quote, because as soon as he said it to us, you know, we kind of looked around. We didn't have anything else to ask. So a very nice, colorful job there by Jonathan Casillas. And thank you to Damon Harrison, Kerry Wynn, and Landon Collins as well for consenting to an interview and joining us here, in a sense, on the podcast. Look, obviously the Giants want to, and maybe this is a bit of a rallying cry for them, they want to keep their season going as long as they can for personal reasons. And they can rally around the idea that, hey, if we keep playing and keep playing well, eventually we'll get JPP back. You know, there's no guarantee 6 to 8 weeks is a estimated recovery time. You know, that puts him right at the NFC Championship game for 6 weeks. Who knows if he'd even be in shape? And it's not like he can do a lot of lower body work when he's coming off of groin and abdomen type of surgery. The Super Bowl might be the more realistic one. And, you know, if the Giants get there, it doesn't matter why they get there. They just want to get there. The real question for them now is, without JPP, with a diminished defense, can they get to the playoffs? Because a week ago, it looked like they were in fantastic shape. But one loss in this NFL changes everything. All of a sudden, they are sitting in the standings, still in the first wild card spot, a game ahead of Tampa, a game and a half ahead of Washington, 2 games ahead of Minnesota and Green Bay. But a loss to Dallas this Sunday night would tighten everything up, especially if Tampa and Washington are able to win, because then you look at the Giants' schedule, and if they're in a race where they're only a half game ahead or a game ahead, depending on how it shakes out, of the team first team out of the playoffs, you know, you start to wonder that after the Dallas Cowboys, they've got the NFC North leading Detroit Lions, who have been pretty good. You've got road trips to end the season to Philadelphia, where, look, the Eagles are collapsing as we speak, so that should be one of the 2 wins the Giants need. But then at Washington, in a game that might end up being for a playoff berth. So it is not an easy road. And if you look at some of the opponents in the wild card race, they have much easier schedules than the Giants. So this is by no means an easy path for them, and they really need to beat the Cowboys on Sunday night to give themselves breathing room. They need to get to 10 wins. You got to figure the game in Philly is a win the way the Eagles are playing. If they can get one more and they beat the Cowboys, they'll have some breathing room heading down the stretch. Now, can they do that is another story, because this Cowboys team is not the same team that you saw on opening day. And remember that game, the Giants won by one. It was Dak Prescott's first career game, and things might have been different if on his last catch, Terrence Williams had stayed, gotten out of bounds instead of staying in bounds and having the clock run out. So there were some circumstances. Still, it counts, and it was a good win for the Giants, and they get points for being the only team to beat the Dallas Cowboys. But since then, this Cowboys team has been on an absolute roll. I don't need to tell you the significant parts of their team. Obviously, it starts with their fantastic offensive line, the best in football. They put a stud of a running back, Ezekiel Elliott, a rookie with over 1,200 yards already, behind it, and it has become an unstoppable running game that basically powers and wills its way to yards. They seem to be able to run the ball. All those first, third down runs and late fourth quarter runs you see the Giants struggle with, they're easy for the Cowboys. They don't seem to break a sweat picking up runs like that. You add in a rookie quarterback who is unbelievably composed. The fact that he has only 2 interceptions is just absolutely amazing to me. He is as calm as any first-year quarterback that I can ever remember seeing. Now, a lot of that has to do with the offensive line, no doubt about it. You know, when you got time to sit there and you know you're not going to get crushed by the incoming rush, something that a lot of rookie quarterbacks don't get the pleasure of knowing, that certainly can ease your mind. He also has a lot of weapons. Dez Bryant, now that he's healthy again, is as good a number one receiver as there is. Maybe the best tight end in football in Jason Witten, with guys like Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams as well. It diversifies that attack. It's a strong offense. They don't put up a ton of points. They don't have to. They'll hold the ball forever. And again, on a Giants defense without JPP, they might be able to wear them down. So that's a big problem for the Giants. The Achilles heel, if there is one, for the Cowboys is their pass defense, which theoretically should be something the Giants can take advantage of, but their pass offense has been a nightmare for weeks now. 2 weeks ago, they basically forget about Sterling Shepard. Last week, they forget about Victor Cruz. They're supposed to have this big three of receivers, and the only thing that seems to work is when they throw to Odell Beckham. Eli Manning, behind a bad offensive line, every one of his throws seems rushed. This is an enormous problem for this team. And if they played the way they did last year or the year before, I'd say that they could give the Cowboys a run for their money, because the Cowboys can play ball control all day long and bully the Giants down the field, but the Giants would get the ball back and they'd be able to quick strike. But they're not a quick strike offense anymore. Their offense is just a mess. if they can somehow get that together, or if this is one of those patented Eli Manning, Odell Beckham breakout games where the two of them just go crazy, well, the Giants will be right in it. But otherwise, you're taking a big leap of faith, and I guess the Giants are taking a lot of those, that they will somehow put their passing attack together and be able to keep pace with the Giants' offense. I think they have the capabilities of doing it, but we're going on a lot of weeks in a row now where we haven't seen them able to do it, and that's going to be trouble for the Giants if they can't do it on Sunday night. Certainly an interesting game. The crowd should be extremely fired up. Again, one of the biggest regular season games that I can remember the Giants playing in a long, long time, and they've said all along they just wanted to be playing relevant football in December. Well, they are. This is relevant football, and it's going to come down to the wire. I don't think there's any way they would, even with a collapse, they probably wouldn't be knocked out of things until the last week of the season. So you've got four big games coming up, none bigger right now than the next one against the Dallas Cowboys, the 11-1 Dallas Cowboys. You can follow all the action as you always do by following me on Twitter at @RVacchianoSNY. You can also get our complete coverage and all sorts of fun things during the week at SNYGiants.com or SNY.TV/Giants. And, of course, we'll be right back here next week to recap the big game and then look ahead to the next big game, because they're just going to come one after the other after the other. And, hey, maybe deep into January, you never know. So make sure you keep listening. Make sure you keep reading. Make sure you keep watching. And thank you all for listening to another edition of Giants Goal Line.
This has been Giants Goal Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.